Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna. Text 24. Shrideva Kyuvacha Rupam Yatat Prahuravyaktam Adyam. Brahma Jyotir Nirgunam Nirvikaram. Sata Matram Nirvisesham Niriham. Satvam Sakshad Vishnuradhyatma Deepa. Translation. Sri Devaki said, My dear Lord, there are different Vedas, some of which describe you as unperceivable through words and the mind. Yet you are the origin of the entire cosmic manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation. And you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements. And by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from the light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes, Lord Vishnu, the light of all transcendental knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vishnu is the origin of everything, and there is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna, because both of them are Vishnu Tattva. From the Rig Veda we understand, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. The original substance is the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who is also Paramatma and the effulgent Brahman. The living entities are also part and parcel of Vishnu, who has various energies. Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shuyate Svabhaviki Gyana Bala Kriyacha. Vishnu, or Krishna, is therefore everything. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Krishna, therefore, is the original cause of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam. When Vishnu expands in his all-pervading aspect, we should understand him to be the Nirikar, Nirvishesha, Brahma Jyoti. Although everything emanates from Krishna, He is ultimately a person. Aham Adir Hi Devanam. He is the origin of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. And from them, many other demigods are manifested. Krishna therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:27, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Brahman rests upon me. The Lord also says, Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shradayanvita te pimam eva konteya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. Bhagavad Gita 9:23. There are many persons who worship different demigods. Considering all of them to be separate gods, which in fact they are not. The fact is that every demigod and every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Mam evangso jiva loke jiva bhuta. The demigods are also in the category of living entities. They are not separate gods, but men whose knowledge is immature and contaminated by the modes of material nature worship various demigods according to their intelligence. Therefore, they are rebuked in the Bhagavad Gita. Kamaisthaisthai ritagyana prapadyantanya devata. Because they are unintelligent and not very advanced and have not properly considered the truth, they take to the worship of various demigods or speculate according to various philosophies, such as the Mayavad philosophy. Krishna, Vishnu, is the actual origin of everything. As stated in the Vedas, Yasya Bhasha Sarvam Idam Vibhati. The Absolute Truth is described later in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28-15 as Satyam Jnanam Anantam Yad Brahmajyoti Sanatanam. The Brahmajyoti is Sanatana, eternal. Yet it is dependent on Krishna. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. The Brahma Samhita says that the Lord is all-pervading. Adantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He is within this universe, and he is within the atom as Paramatma. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagarandako tish vashesha vasudadi vibhutibinam. Brahman is also not independent of him. Therefore, whatever a philosopher may describe is ultimately Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram paramam bhavan. According to different phases of understanding, Lord Vishnu is differently described, but in fact, he is the origin of everything. Because Devaki was an unalloyed devotee, She could understand that the same Lord Vishnu had appeared as her son. Therefore, after the prayers of Vasudeva, Devaki offered her prayers. She was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms, such as Narayan, Lord Rama, Shesha, Varaha, Nrisimha, Vamana, Baladev, and many millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu, are described in the Vedic literature as original. You are original because all your forms as incarnations are outside of this material creation. Your form was existing before this cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Vishnu." End quote. We may conclude, therefore, that Lord Vishnu is everything, although he is also different from everything. This is the Achintya Veda Ved Tattva philosophy. Translation again. Sri Devaki said, "My dear Lord, there are different Vedas, some of which describe you as imperceivable through words and the mind. Yet you are the origin of the entire cosmic manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation, and you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements, and by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from the light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes, Lord Vishnu, the light of all transcendental knowledge." So in this beautiful prayer by Devaki, the first of her prayers to Krishna, she mentions various terms that are used in the Vedas to describe Brahman and Paramatma. Especially these words are used very frequently by impersonalists of yuktam. Srila Prabhupada says, not perceivable by the material senses. And one word of yuktam is also translated as unmanifest. Brahma, Brahman, Jyoti, light, Nirguna, without material qualities, Nirvikara, without change, Nirvishesha, here Srila Prabhupada says, present everywhere as the super soul, but Nirvishesham can also be taken as without variety, without form. But she says, ultimately you are Vishnu, the origin of everything. And the terms used to describe you as impersonal do not really deny your eternal spiritual personality, but they simply refer to the impersonal feature of your effulgence, Brahma Jyoti, or your localized aspect as Paramatma. So this is the sublime philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is there in the Vedas, in the Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, but which has been explained perfectly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the phrase Achintya Veda Ved Tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. Veda Ved means one and different. Tattva means truth. So, Krishna is the origin. Actually, the whole scene, if you will, the whole scene is very wonderfully depicted on the cover of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is Krishna in his spiritual abode of Goloka Vrindavan, situated in the spiritual sky. And also situated in the spiritual sky are many Vaikuntha planets on which Lord Narayan resides. And that spiritual sky is pervaded by the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual light that emanates from the transcendental body of Krishna. Then, within a portion of the spiritual sky is an area that is compared to a cloud. And within that cloud that is floating within the spiritual sky, within the Brahma Jyoti, in that cloud is the material existence. There is first of all Mahavishnu, or Karanadakshai Vishnu, lying in the causal ocean, or Karana Samudra. And from the pores of his body, many universes emanate. Then within each universe, Vishnu expands and lies down on the Garbhodak ocean as Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And he is also the super soul of the universe. In Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, he says that just as the body requires the soul to exist and have life, so the universe also requires a soul. And the soul of the universe is Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And within the universe are so many planets. And among the material planets, there is also one spiritual planet called Swetadweep, which is the abode of Kshirodakshai Vishnu. And Kshirodakshai Vishnu is the super soul within the hearts of the living entities. He is the Paramatma within the atoms and even in the spaces between the atoms. But all of these different expansions and manifestations are Krishna, because they come from Krishna, and not only come from Krishna, they are in the same category as Krishna, as Vishnu Tattva. So the Vedas are full of prayers, Vedas, including the Upanishads, are full of prayers extolling the greatness of Brahman, using these terms, you know, Nirakar, Nirvishesh, Nirguna, and so on. They are also full of prayers glorifying Vishnu. Some are glorifying Karanadakshai Vishnu. Some are glorifying Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Some are glorifying Kshirodakshai Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, as the maintainer of the universe, is also glorified with various terms suitable for him. So for an ordinary person, the use of these different terms to describe the absolute truth could be very confusing and bewildering. Is the absolute truth a person or not? Is the absolute truth impersonal or what? His Holiness Radhanath Swami, in his beautiful account of his spiritual journey, describes his own confusion on this very point. Is God ultimately personal or impersonal? Because within the Vedic scriptures, you find terms that suggest he's impersonal. You find terms that suggest he's all-pervading. And you also find terms that suggest that he's a person with friends and associates and activities. So how to make sense of this bewildering array of Vedic statements? And we can't really reject any of them because they're coming from the Vedas. And the Vedas are apurushaya, they are beyond human creation. They're coming directly from Brahman or from Vishnu. So how to make sense of this bewildering array of terminology? So by understanding this philosophy of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, one can understand that, yes, the absolute truth is Krishna or Vishnu, that same verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that the absolute truth, non-dual, is realized in different features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So it's the same, Advaya. Advaya means non-dual. There's no duality between Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But at the same time, there is some difference. Brahman is realization of only the Sat aspect, eternity. Paramatma is realization of Sat and Chit, eternal existence and knowledge, or cognizance. And Brahman is full Bhagavan is full realization of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So they're the same, but they're different. You can get more bliss in relationship to Krishna than Paramatma or to Paramatma or to Bhagavan, to Brahman. So this confusion is quite prevalent everywhere. In India, the typical understanding that little children are given from the very beginning is that ultimately God is impersonal, and he comes in different forms and shapes as Vishnu, Rama, Krishna, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh. And they are all the same. All the different gods are the same. None is better or greater than another. But ultimately, the goal is to go beyond the different names and forms and merge and become one with impersonal Brahman and give up one's individual existence. And that is liberation, mukti. That's the general conception in what Srila Prabhupada calls the hodgepodge of Hinduism. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially, we can understand that this non-dual substance, Advaya, is realized in three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And they are all the same, they are all spiritual, but they are different in terms of one's appreciation and realization. Then too, the question may arise, amongst these different personalities in the category of Vishnu Tattva, who is the original? And generally, the common understanding in Hindus or Vaishnavs, Hindus, is that Vishnu is the origin, and Krishna and all the other incarnations come from Vishnu. There is truth to that statement. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that all the incarnations who appear in the material world, all the avatars who descend into the material world, do so through Lord Vishnu. But the Leela avatars who exist eternally in their own spiritual planets, in the spiritual world, and especially Krishna, Rama, and Nrisimha, who are considered to be greater in opulence even than Vishnu, they come through Vishnu, but they are not expansions of him, but rather he is an expansion of Krishna. But this is a very esoteric and intricate question. And when we were preaching in India, Srila Prabhupada advised us that if someone is a worshiper of Vishnu, we should not enter into a controversy about whether Vishnu comes from Krishna or Krishna comes from Vishnu. They're worshiping Vishnu, Krishna, and we don't mind. They can worship him in the form of Vishnu or in the form of Rama, in the form of Nrisimha, or in the form of Krishna. But still, on a higher level, there is a difference. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did enter into this conversation when he was in South India, staying at the home of a young boy and his parents. And that young boy eventually became Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal's father, he had the idea that Krishna was a subordinate expansion of Vishnu or Narayan. So in a joking way, he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my Lord is so opulent, he is served by Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and your Lord is just a cowherd boy roaming about the forests, why worship a cowherd boy when you can worship the Lord of Vaikuntha? So when teased by what was his name? Venkatabhatta. When teased by Venkatabhatta like that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded in kind. And he said, yes, that is very nice. Lord Narayan is the master of Lakshmi. Lakshminath, Lakshmipati is the lord of Vaikuntha. Vaikunthanath, Vaikunthapati. But why is it that Lakshmi, who is always by the side of Lord Narayan, underwent great austerities to get the association of Krishna? Venkatabhatta replied, well, Krishna is one of the features of Lord Narayan. She just wanted to see her husband and one of his other features. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, why is it then that she was unable to see him? She was not allowed to enter into his pastime. So then Venkatabhatta was stumped, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained a very important truth about the different expansions of Krishna or Vishnu. And he said that according to Siddhanta, there is no difference between Vishnu and Krishna. So he was sort of appeasing Venkatabhatta that, don't worry, you know, I'm just joking. Actually, there's no difference between them. One is not better than the other in terms of Siddhanta or Tattva. But in terms of rasa, there is a difference, because with Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, there is awe and reverence. And one can enjoy a relationship with Lord Narayan only in Shantaras, if you want to say, Dasyaras, the humor of servitude, or the, you could say, lower division of Sakyaras, Gaurav Sakyaras, Sakyaras with awe and reverence. Whereas with Krishna, you can enjoy very intimate relationships and Sakyaras as equal friends. And beyond being an equal friend of Krishna, you can become Krishna's mother or father, and become Krishna's superior, such that Krishna depends on you. Sometimes you have to chastise him. And then even beyond Vatsalya Ras is Madhurya Ras, in which you become Krishna's lover. So in terms of Siddhanta or Tattva, there's no difference, but in terms of rasa, there is difference. Sometimes the example is given of the moon. From new moon to full moon, it's the same moon. But the moon is revealed to greater or lesser degrees in the different phases. So in the same way, Narayan is the same as Krishna, Krishna is the same as Narayan, but he is revealed more fully as Krishna than as Narayan. And in between, Nrisimhadev more fully than Narayan, then Rama also more fully, and then most fully, completely, as Krishna. And even this subtle philosophical point was discussed very nicely in Radhana Swami's book, The Journey Home. Because even if you accept that God is personal, how do you know which deity to worship? How do you know which, on which God to focus your energy and attention? And when he was with some Ram Bhaktas in Bihar, every day they would have Ram Katha in Hindi. But he could not understand what they were saying, but he could see that they were relishing. And of course, they were very kind to him, and he was very happy with them. So they were relishing. And amongst the students of the guru, there was one who knew English, who had befriended Radhanath Swami. So after each katha, Radhanath Swami would ask the gentleman who spoke English, what did they discuss? It seemed like, because sometimes they were laughing, sometimes they were crying, they were exhibiting so many signs of transcendental happiness while hearing the narration. So Radhanath Swami's friend told him, he related the story of Damodar Leela. It was a very, very charming story of Mother Yashoda binding Lord Krishna. And so Radhanath Swami was very happy. So the next day, the same thing happened. They had Ram Katha and laughing and enjoying and weeping and so happy discussing Ram Leela. But again, Radhanath Swami didn't really know what they were talking about. So he asked his friend, what was today's topic? And he recited the same story of Mother Yashoda and Damodar. So this went on day after day. And Radhanath Swami became a little suspicious that every day they're just discussing the same story of Krishna breaking the pot of butter and Mother Yashoda binding him. And so eventually it came out that they were discussing different pastimes of Lord Ramchandra every day. But they had understood, or maybe the guru had understood, that Radhanath Swami was a Krishna Bhakta, not a Ram Bhakta. And so they didn't want to tell him the stories of Ram because they felt that would not be favorable for his devotion to Krishna, and that ultimately he was a Krishna Bhakta, although he didn't know it. So finally the friend confessed that we are Ram Bhaktas, and I know all the pastimes of Lord Ram, but I'm not a Krishna Bhakta. The only pastime I know about Krishna is the Damodar Lila. So that's all I could tell you. But because we know that within your heart you are a Krishna Bhakta, we didn't want to we didn't want your mind to be focused on Ram. We wanted it to be focused on Krishna. So like that, even amongst the different personalities of Godhead, even within Vaishnavism, personalism, Vaishnavism, there are different deities. But still, according to Rasa, Krishna is the supreme. And in relationship to Krishna, you can have the most intimate exchanges and pastimes, more even than with Ram. And then demigods, they're not even in the category of Vishnu Tattva at all. They're living entities. Any one of us, if we have that desire and piety, we can become a Brahma. Brahma. We can become a Indra. We can become Manu. So the demigods, they are not in the same category as Vishnu, but they are living entities like we are. But even in relation to the living entities, the same philosophy of Achintya-Veda-Ve-Tattva applies, because we are also expansions of Krishna, but not full expansions like Vishnu Tattva, but small fragmental parts. Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. But we are also expansions of Krishna, Tatasta Shakti. But we, because we are small and God is great, we can fall down, but he cannot. As Srila Prabhupada would present it, Achintya-Veda-Ve-Tattva, that we are one in quality, but different in quantity. Because God is infinite, and we are infinitesimal. So we are also expansions, but in a different category, not the Vishnu category, but the Jiva category. And we are prone to fall down into the material world and be covered by Maya. But Krishna or Vishnu are never covered by Maya, and that is expressed in this verse. So one who worships the demigods, Anya Devata, other gods, avidhi purvakam, they do it without proper understanding, or you could even say they do it in the wrong way. The worship is meant for Krishna, but due to some misunderstanding, they are offering it to the demigods. And this is another bewildering, confusing phenomenon. There are so many different forms, and again, in that hodgepodge of Hinduism, people can't distinguish. They think, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Durga, Ganesh, all the same, and it doesn't matter, you can worship any. one of them. So they are all in different phases of darkness, different phases of ignorance. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us light. And the very last word of this beautiful verse is adhyatma dipa. Adhyatmic gyan, spiritual knowledge, dipa, light or lamp. Krishna is the light of transcendental knowledge. Because if we understand Krishna, we can understand everything, because everything is an expansion of Krishna. So if we understand Krishna in truth, tatvataha, we can also understand Paramatma, we can understand the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, we can understand the different Vishnu expansions of Godhead, we can understand the different energies of the Lord, the internal Swarup Shakti, or the marginal Tattvastu Shakti, or the inferior material energy, Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. Can understand everything. So this is really extraordinary. Really extraordinary that simple people born in any type of family, not necessarily a highly cultured Brahmin family, not necessarily a highly educated person, if they understand Krishna properly, they understand everything. And they can converse with any big scientist or philosopher and defeat the person. But of course, as Srila Prabhupada said of the Mayavadis in India, they know Sanskrit, they know so many shlokas. We should not try to argue with them. But we will conquer them with our kirtan and with our gentle behavior. Like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he entered the assembly of Prakashananda Saraswati and 10,000 Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi, he didn't challenge them. He just sat near the entrance to the assembly by the shoes and was very humble, meek and humble and gentle. And Prakashananda Saraswati himself, the leader of the Mayavadis, became attracted by the beauty of the Lord, by the effulgence of the Lord. The impersonalists are always attracted by the effulgence. So he was attracted by the effulgence of the Lord, and he said, "Why are you sitting here? You come and be with us." And he took him by the hand and led him. And then when they were discussing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, there's the direct meaning of the scriptures and the indirect meaning. And when the direct meaning is clear, there's no need of interpretation or speculation, because the direct meaning is clear. And he explained that the whole Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, describes Krishna. Janmadiyasi yataha, that from which everything emanates is Krishna. And that, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, written by the same author, Vyasadeva. And Srimad Bhagavatam begins the same way, Janmadiyasyataha. So that Janma Adi Asya Yataha, four words, is Krishna, from whom everything emanates. It may be described as Brahma, Brahman, but it's Krishna. That Brahman, that Parabrahman, is Krishna. So all of this can be understood by devotees, even big scholars who know many scriptures and who know Sanskrit grammar and logic, they may not understand unless they are blessed by the mercy of the Lord. So this is amazing. It's amazing that simple followers of Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy, have understood these truths that are bewildering even to big philosophers and gyanis and yogis and karmakandis. But we should be humble, of course. Without humility, one cannot even really claim to be a devotee. We should be humble and grateful that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have been able to glimpse a little of the Lord's greatness and be engaged in his service or in the service of his servants, which is the highest position. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Dasa, being the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. That is the position that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, and that should be our aspiration as well. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments?
Thank you, Maharaj. You were talking about there being different levels in Satyaras. So, does that mean in the other relationships as well, there's different levels?
In Vaikuntha with Narayan, you cannot have a relationship in Madhurya Ras or Vatsalya Ras. It just doesn't exist. But you can have a relationship in Sakya Ras, but with awe and reverence. Dasya Ras, of course, you can have with Lord Narayan. That's the primary mood in Vaikuntha, Dasyaras. And you can also have Dasyaras with Krishna in Vrindavan. But the mood is different in Vrindavan. Dasyaras means there is a sense of servant and master. By definition, there's a sense of servant and master. So it's not an one in which there's the same intimacy as in a relationship of equals, like the higher division of Sakya Ras, or what to speak of Vatsalya Ras, so much intimacy that you're feeding milk from your breast to the Lord. I mean, that's really intimate. Ordering him, bring my shoes, that's very intimate. And then even more so in Madhurya Ras. Srila Prabhupada explains that Everyone is worshiping God Almighty. Everyone in churches, temples, mosques, they're praying to God Almighty, supplicating themselves before God Almighty, and glorifying Him. And he said that sometimes Krishna gets tired of it all, and he wants someone to chastise him. He doesn't want to be praised all the time. He wants to be chastised sometime. So who will chastise him? You know, only someone who is an equal. Of course, no one is equal to God or greater than him, but only someone who feels that he's an equal or even in a superior position can chastise him. So that the cowherd boys, they do that, intimate cowherd boys. Even in Vrindavan, there are younger cowherd boys, so there's a little awe and reverence. And they're some the same age and some older. Balaram is older. He's in Sakyaras, but there's a little Vatsalyaras because he's the older brother. But there's also a little Dasyaras because he also feels that he's Krishna's servant. So who can chastise Krishna? Only a very intimate devotee, very pure, exalted devotee. So in Vrindavan, even in Dasyaras, there's much more affection than in Vaikuntha. In Dasyaras. There are different Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and other scriptures describe there are different further developments of prema. We say prema pumartha mahan. Prema is the ultimate achievement or goal of life. But there are other transformations of the same bhakti, prema. There's sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, and mahabhav. So to enter Vaikuntha, enter the spiritual sky, prema is enough. If you have prema, if you have pure love of Godhead, you can enter the spiritual sky and serve the Lord as Narayan. But to enter the spiritual sky and serve Krishna, you have to go beyond this, you know, prema, sneha, and so on, to rag. You have to have rag, which is very intense, concentrated affection. So even to be in Dasyaras, in Vrindavan, you have to have that further development of prema, which is called rag. And then to enter into Sakyaras, you have to go even further. You have to have anurag. And all the symptoms of these different exalted states are given in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. And then ultimately to enter into Madhuryaras, you have to have bhava, or really mahabhava, to be a gopi. In Madhuryaras. So the Dasya Ras and the Gaurav Sakya Ras are present both in Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan, but in Goloka Vrindavan there's more affection, there's greater love than the Dasya Ras in Vaikuntha. But this is all analyzed from the external point of view. But each devotee is fully satisfied in his relationship with the Lord, fully satisfied, and he wouldn't want to change his position for that of anyone else. Hanuman is fully satisfied being the eternal servant of Ram. He wouldn't change his position. He said, well, you could become a cowherd boy and play with Krishna. He wouldn't be interested. There is one story that Krishna in Dwarka sent a messenger to Hanuman. At that stage, Hanuman was a little aged, and said, Lord Krishna is in Dwarka and he would like to see you. Garuda was the messenger. And Hanuman said, I'm so old, and I don't have very much energy now, and Dwarka is so far. I don't think I can make it. So Garuda went back and told Krishna what Hanuman had said. Then Krishna said, all right, well, go back and tell him that Lord Ram is calling him. So Garuda went back and told him. As soon as he heard the holy name of Lord Ram, immediately got up, said, oh, my eternal master Ram is calling me. He jumped, and in one leap, he reached Dwarka faster than Garuda could fly in the air. He was flying madly in the air to get to Dwarka. He couldn't get there as fast as Hanuman got there. So that is Hanuman's eternal love for Ram, and he's fully satisfied in that. So every devotee is fully satisfied in his particular relationship with the Lord. And so these terms, higher and lower, greater and lesser, in a sense, don't really apply, because it's all adwaya, it's all non-dual, it's all absolute. There's really no difference. But just, from a scholarly point of view, analyzing, we can see that there's, that Dasya Ras has everything that Shanta Ras has, but more, like a hierarchy than, Shanta Ras has appreciation, but not active service. So Dasya Ras has appreciation plus active service, but without the intimacy of being an equal. So Sakya Ras has appreciation and service and friendliness, the sense of being an equal. And then Vatsalya Ras, it has appreciation, it has service, it has friendship, but even more, it has the sense of being a guardian and protector of Krishna. And Madhurya Rasa has all of those four plus the element of conjugal love. So when you analyze it like that, you can see there's greater revelation in terms of rasa in dasya, and then sakya, then vatsalya, and then madhurya. But the devotee who's in a relationship with Krishna, or Ram, or Nrisinga, or Narayan, is fully satisfied. He wouldn't want to change his position. Even if he was offered the chance, he wouldn't. Because that's his eternal love. That's his eternal love. So we should, so I think that, you know, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, I mean, on occasion, devotees who relish the sweetness of Krishna will work on someone who is inclined to another form of Godhead. It happened in the case of the younger brother of Rupa and Sanatan, Anupam. He was a devotee of Lord Ram. And his older brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, were always speaking about the sweetness of Krishna and imploring him that he should worship Krishna. But he couldn't. I mean, they were his older brothers. They were his shiksha gurus. He felt he could not disobey them. And he was also attracted, definitely hearing about the beauty of Krishna. He was attracted. But he couldn't give up his feelings of love and servitude towards Lord Ram. Same with Murari Gupta. And so like with Anupam, he didn't know what to do. You know, he tried to give up his attachment to Lord Ram and transfer his attachment to Krishna, but he couldn't. You know, he thought he'll do it. He decided, I will do it. And then he stayed up all night crying. He couldn't give up his attachment for Ram. And then he thought, I can't live. I can't disobey my gurus. And I can't give up my attachment and service to my Lord Ram. So I should just give up my body because I'm in an impossible situation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised that devotion to Ram. And he said, glorious is that servant who does not abandon his master. And glorious is that master who does not abandon his servant. And if by chance the servant tries to run away, glorious is that master who will grab him by the hair and bring him back. Any other questions or comments? Namruchi.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for the nice class. Since we're on the topic of feeling inclined to a particular relationship, how do we if now, like in our conditioned state and, you know, in our neophyte position, we're attracted to a certain relationship, but it's not until we're in a later level of advancement in which our eternal relationship is revealed to us. So is our attraction to a specific relationship or a certain relationship now an indication of our future, of our revelation, or?
It may or may not be, because we're in the conditioned state, and you know, we may have a sentiment for a particular form of the Lord, or an attraction for a particular relationship with the Lord, but it may not endure. It might be an indication, but it might not be. I've had the opportunity to watch babies and children of devotees grow up, and quite often now, you know, there's Ramayan series, Mahabharat series, so many DVD series, so they watch them, and I've seen usually the favorite is Ram. They like the idea of carrying bows and arrows and shooting demons and playing with monkeys. I've seen it. And very often the parents will get them like toy bows and arrows, and they play at being Ram. And when they're with their friends, they also play, you know, some Ram Lila. I wouldn't say that was an indication of their eternal relationship, that they're Ram Bhaktas, but as children, that they liked that idea of shooting bows and arrows, killing demons, playing with monkeys, and but I wouldn't do, you know, it depends on what it is, you know, but I wouldn't discourage it, but at the same time, I wouldn't necessarily take it too seriously. But once one lady disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, does Krishna have only 16,108 queens? And Srila Prabhupada replied, oh, you want to become one of Krishna's queens? You can pray like that. I mean,
so is it just like a cultivation, like can we aspire and cultivate a specific relationship, or is it just, you know, we have a relationship and it's just, it will be revealed?
Well, that is a good question. And that question is answered in scripture. For Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, the adhikar or eligibility is Shraddha, Ado Shraddha. But for Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, the eligibility is Lobha, which is often translated as greed. And if someone has Lobha, then he naturally will be inclined to a particular relationship with a particular form of, well, it would be Krishna in Vrindavan. And so he'll be very greedy to hear about Krishna's pastimes with devotees in that mood. He'll be very eager to hear about Krishna's associates in that rasa and how they serve him. And he'll just be very eager to know everything about it, learn everything about it. And he'll naturally sort of envision himself in that position. But that happens spontaneously. And all the shastras, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, on down to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they all say, until that comes, you follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But that appearance of lobha, it's not that all of a sudden you have intense lobha. There'll be like a little awakening of lobha. And so there's descriptions in the shastras, in the books of our acharyas, how to practice when there's a degree of lobha, but not full-fledged, very powerful lobha. Then it's sort of a combination of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So even within Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, there are degrees of, you know, intensity of lobha, and then there's degrees of advancement in practices. You know, there are more advanced practices and more preliminary practices. Preliminary is mainly hearing about the Lord in those pastimes and with those devotees, and hearing about those devotees and their qualities and their service and their moods. So when you talk about cultivation, there's like quite a wide range of ways that you can cultivate that mood. But the first would be hearing. First would be hearing. With that eagerness. But if that eagerness is not there for a particular relationship with Krishna or service to Krishna, you should be eager to hear other things. But even that's a pretty advanced stage. If you're not eager, then just hear anyway, and that will cleanse your heart, and then you'll become more eager. But I think there's no harm in hearing. The main danger is with Madhurya Ras, because of the resemblance of that to mundane sex, and then you can very easily be degraded by thinking of mundane sex. So I mean, in that respect, I would definitely be cautious focusing on that. But others, you know, Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya Ras, I think that would be quite harmless, be quite nice, matter of fact. Or, you know, to be a queen of Dwarka, but I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, if you have it in you, that's something else. But otherwise, I would stick to Krishna and Vrindavan. But like what Prabhupada said to that disciple in the early days, so you want to be queen of Krishna, you can play like that. Well, that's pretty innocent, because It's on reverence. It's like just that we could call Madhurya Ras in Dwarka. It's like Dasya Ras, just, you know, the chaste wife serving her husband. Is that so? And everything comes from the holy name. Deep chanting, offenseless chanting, you know, intense focus on the holy name, that brings everything, that reveals Krishna's form. Yeah, in a general way, we can say his form. Nama Rupa Guna Lila, his qualities, his pastimes. But then in that process, if some eagerness awakens in you, then it'll be those particular names of Krishna that relate to that relationship, those particular forms of Krishna. Like if you're more in, like Krishna has three different ages in Vrindavan. There's Kumar, that's like a young child, or baby Bala. Then Poganda, it's sort of like a little older. And then Kishore. So it's described that those in Vatsalya Ras who see Krishna as their child, they will tend to see him in the Bala age and stage. And those who are in Sakya Ras, who see him as a friend, an equal friend, they will see him in the Poganda age. And then those who see him in the mood of Madhurya Ras, they will see him in the Kishora age. So the holy name, Nama Rupa Guna Lila, but that form and those qualities and those pastimes will be revealed to one who has greed for a particular relationship with Krishna in that particular, in that reciprocal way. You know, yeyatamam prapadyante tamstachaiva bhajamyaham. As one approaches Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. So if you want Krishna as the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, he'll reveal himself as impersonal Brahman to you. If you want to see him as localized super soul, he'll reveal himself as Paramatma to you. If you want to see him as Narayan, he'll reveal himself as Narayan. If you want to see him as Rama, he'll reveal himself as Rama. If you want to see him as Krishna, he'll reveal himself as Krishna. If you want to see him as your son, he'll reveal himself as baby Krishna. If you want to see him as your boyfriend, cowherd boyfriend, he'll reveal himself in Poganda age. If you want to see him as your lover, he'll reveal himself in Kishora age. So yeyatamam prapadyante tamstatai vajamyam. He'll reciprocate with your desire and reveal himself accordingly. But whatever your rasa is, whatever your mood is, you'll still read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll still chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, still do all the same things, but the mood will change and there might be a little shift of emphasis or focus. But otherwise it's basically the same, but just the mood is different. Still read the Bhagavad Gita, but you'll see meanings in the Bhagavad Gita that you didn't see before. Like manmana bhava mad bhakta, manmana, always think of me. So All right, we always think of Krishna. We have to chant the holy name of Krishna. We think of Krishna. But when that mood arises in you, you read Manmana, always think of Krishna. Well, you'll take it, always think of Krishna. Yeah, well, this is how to always think of Krishna, to think of him in that mood, in that way, in terms of those pastimes with those devotees. It's subtle, and it the main things are preaching and chanting the holy name. Preaching and chanting the holy name, this can awaken this type of eagerness. Or, you know, could be from previous lives. So many factors. Going to Vrindavan. Many, many factors can help us awaken those sentiments. Hearing from advanced devotees. But for us, in a general sense, it's chanting the holy names and preaching that will bring us to that stage. Any other questions or comments? Would you like to, what is your name? Where are
New Delhi, India?
Oh,
disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna.
Very nice. Would you like? I understand you've been giving classes here.
I just gave one class on Sunday.
Oh, would you like to add anything to the discussion?
Just one comment came to mind by Tamal Krish Maharaj. I used to live here in Dallas and joined the movement in Dallas, and used to come listen to Maharaj. He once said, he asked Prabhupada, is our bhava or devotions, the mood, is it static? And Prabhupada said, it's not static, but it's ecstatic.
Yes.
He didn't say dynamic, he said ecstatic.
Yeah, that's nice.
Thanks for wonderful Kasma. Very
enlightened. Thank you for that comment. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur.